And turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to be all over the place this morning. That's an unusual kind of a Christmas message. I say kind of a Christmas message. We're in Luke chapter 2. And keep your Bibles handy. We're going to look at several scriptures, and hopefully show you some things this morning and be a blessing to you. We're in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. We're going to look at the shepherds for just a moment. The shepherds are in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, imagine,
"Fear not."
I would have been afraid right there.
"For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day,"
not yesterday, this is news, "for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and singing. Mr. Frank will tell you as he helps you in the Christmas carols, and the angel sang, the angel said, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men." I hate to ruin all your Christmas carols, but we're going to ruin another one this morning in just a moment. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem." Where are they going? They're going to Bethlehem. Why are they going to Bethlehem? Because that's where Christ was born, right? Okay. "Let us now go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Was Mary and Joseph from Bethlehem? No. They were, chapter 2, look at verse 1. "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city." That's the city where Joseph was from. But where did they live? They lived in Nazareth. That's where they lived. So they traveled from Nazareth. We're going to take you from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And then they made another stop on their journey. They did not stay here. They did not remain here. They did not live here. They were visiting to pay the tax in Bethlehem. How long were they there? We're going to show you from the scripture how long that they were there. That comes a little bit later. "They came with haste, found Mary," verse 16, "and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it," have you seen it? Have you seen the Lord? Have you received his salvation? Have you received the gift? Maybe you just go right to ripping the paper off, right? I always look at the tag. Who is it to is an important thing. Our next door neighbor every year gives several little gifts, and a bag of nuts in this one, and a couple of cookies in this one. They love to wrap the presents. So every little thing, there's like seven on the counter. And Mrs. Bishop said, open some. And so I picked up one, and I looked at the tag, and I turned it over, and I said, "This is to you." And so she got the nuts. And so I handed it to her. And I couldn't open it. It wasn't to me. But this is to you. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So who is it to? You should always look to see who it is from. Why is that? So you know who to say thank you to. So I will say thank you to our neighbors. Thank you for the nuts. And thank you for the cookies. It's important to express thanks. The gift of God is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through, not through me, through, not through the church, through, not through baptism, through Jesus Christ. Now, if you're not careful, if you don't look to see who it's from, you're going to be thanking the church, or thanking the priest, or thanking the bishop. I don't give that. It's not from me. I can tell you the gift is there. I can encourage you to take the gift. But if I ever step in and say, that gift, that's from me, I gave that to you, then I have become a fraud. And they had seen it. If you've seen it, if you received the gift, then you want to tell people about it. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it, they hadn't seen it, they heard it, wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. For unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, the title this morning is A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help me in the next 30 minutes as we travel throughout Scripture to share some things, to make us help us see some things that are not new, and very clearly laid out, but we have put aside our Bibles and embraced Christmas carols to teach us our doctrine. And we should not do that. We should open the Bible back up and read what you have shared with us and told us about your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that we'd do that and we'd be enlightened. For that person who has never received the gift, I pray this morning that they would receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you for what you do this morning. It is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Many Christmas carols were written by musicians, and they were religious, but they were part of churches that were corrupt and did not teach good doctrine. And so as a result, you may have good rhyme and you may have good meter, you've just got bad Bible doctrine. And so we showed that with the angels singing when the angels were actually saying. So I study God's Word. I'm a preacher. That's what I'm supposed to do, right? But you're supposed to be Bereans, and you're supposed to study God's Word as well. And Mrs. Bishop, I don't know, it was probably 4 years ago, we attended a high-tech presentation of a Bible event. And so we're sitting there, I don't know, we're in the fifth row. There's probably 1,000 people that have gathered in this, and they're portraying the biblical narrative up on the stage. And I sit there, and I lean over to Mrs. Bishop and go, that's not Bible. That's not accurate. They didn't. And she said, just be quiet and enjoy the program. So that's Mrs. Bishop's response to that. But we should know God's Word. And you should be able, don't get your doctrine from Hollywood. You should not get your doctrine from Hollywood. Well, Hollywood's putting out a program about the Bible. That's not a good place to get doctrine. You're going to get a good place. If you're going to get doctrine from Hollywood, it's probably going to be false. They use artistic license. We should just line upon line, precept upon precept. So let's trace. Here's a popular song. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, fields and across fields and mountains, following yonder star, right? Go with me to Matthew chapter 2. Hate to break your bubble. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. But when Jesus was born, where was he born? In Bethlehem of Judea. We know that. Where is he from? He was from Nazareth. And where did they travel? They traveled from Bethlehem to Nazareth to do what? to pay a tax. Were they going to live there? No, they were going to pay their tax. And where were they going to go? They were going to go back home. Where is home? Home is in Nazareth. So Nazareth is up here, way in the northern part. And Bethlehem is about 70 miles south, kind of as the crow flies. Now, you can go home this afternoon and you can Google it, and they'll tell you it's like 97 miles because they're taking you by the highway and they're taking you around the quickest way, which might be 97 miles as opposed to going as a crow fly. But as a crow fly, right about 90 miles. So they're going, it's important, 90 is important. They're going from Nazareth, 70 miles. Sorry, going from Nazareth down to Jerusalem, not the mighty 90-mile trip going along the seashore. Had to be born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. So they're going from the east. They're going to Jerusalem. And preacher, they're following the star, just like the song said. Following yonder star. No, they're not. Look at verse 2. Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have followed his star. No. We have seen his star. If they were following the star, then the star led them to the wrong place because he's not here. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, where are they? He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now wait a minute. We know that the star led them to the manger. No. The star, if they were following the star, then the star led them to Jerusalem. He wasn't born in Jerusalem. So if you let the song determine your theology, you've got to say that the star was wrong. The star led them to the wrong place. He wasn't in Jerusalem. He wasn't even born there. He was born in Bethlehem. Jerusalem is 7 miles north of Bethlehem. 7 miles might not make any difference to you, but if you're walking, that's going to make a big difference. Maybe in your car it'll be 7 minutes. In Northern Virginia traffic, it could be 2 hours. But on your feet, I mean, that's a big wrong. They saw his star. But they did not follow, the star did not lead them to the wrong place. What brought them, if they saw a star and they were Bible students and they knew that the Bible said that Jesus Christ was to be born in Bethlehem, then why did they go to Jerusalem? They weren't following the star, they were following the Bible. Then why did they go? Why Jerusalem? Because where is he that is born king? Where's the king going to be? Is the king going to be where he's born? No. The king is going to be where the king resides. And where's the king? The king should be in the capital, right? And so they're using a logic to think this through. If you were looking for the president of the United States, you wouldn't go to, I don't know, Hobart, Indiana, just because the president was born there. You would go to Washington, D.C., would you not? Because that's where presidents are. And so they're looking for the king. They know, according to Bible prophecy, that the king was born in Bethlehem. But they're looking for a king. And so once a child is born in Bethlehem, they're going to move to the capital city, which is Jerusalem. And so they have rightly gone to Jerusalem looking for the king. And what did they find in Jerusalem? They found a king. It was Herod. And when they said to Herod, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have come to worship him. Herod was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Verse 4. And when Herod, had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them, where Christ should be born. And they said, in Bethlehem, 7 miles south of here, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for unto thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. So here's Herod. He says, hey guys, let's have a private consult. So when exactly did you see? Well, it was a while ago. Well, how long is a while ago? Well, you know, we've been traveling for quite a while. Well, what do you mean quite a while? Exactly when did you? Why? Because Herod is going to tell them, when you find the child, bring me back word so I may worship him. But Herod's not in. Herod's doing the math. How long ago was this child born? And so he pinned him down. Well, we saw the star. We saw his star appear 2 years ago. So Herod's doing the math. We're not looking for a baby anymore. We're looking for a 2-year-old. They saw the star 2 years ago that he was born. And so he's doing the math. Why? Because he's going to kill all the babies 2 years of age and under, based on what information he got from the wise men. Let's continue reading. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written the prophet. Verse 7, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to where? He sent them to Bethlehem. So, again, here we are on the map. We've got Nazareth, which is where Joseph lived. And there was a tax, Luke chapter 2. So Joseph and Mary, great with child, traveled the 70 miles south, passing through Jerusalem, going 7 miles south of Jerusalem to Bethlehem, which is where the baby was born. Are you with me? No, you didn't come expecting to learn stuff about geography this morning. We have Nazareth, we have Jerusalem, we have Bethlehem. So here the wise men come to Jerusalem looking for a king, and he inquires diligently. He calls the wise men in. They say, where is he born? He's born in Bethlehem. And he sends them to Bethlehem, which is 7 miles in the wrong direction. But where are they? They went back home. They're up in Nazareth. Now we got a problem. How are they going to find them? They're going in the wrong direction. They're searching in the wrong place. Now, let's go. Let's follow. Go and search diligently for, and he sent them to Bethlehem. Now he knows they saw the star 2 years ago, so Herod, don't go search for the baby. I'll tell you what. Do you know anything about 2-year-olds? Go up to a 2-year-old and say, you're a nice little baby. And the 2-year-old will say, I'm not a baby. I'm not a baby. 2-year-olds, they're walking, right? You hold a 2-year-old's hand, and what does that 2-year-old do? I'm 2 years old. I don't need your help. 2-year-old, right? And so Herod says, when did you see the star? He's doing the math. This 2 years ago, so now we're not looking for a baby. He didn't say, go to Bethlehem and look for the baby. He said, go to Bethlehem and look for the young child. Because Herod knows, based on what they just said, that this Matthew chapter 2 is different from Luke chapter 2. So, they departed. Let's read verse 8 again. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed. And now the star is saying, hey, fellas, you're going in the wrong direction. Because he's not 7 miles south. He's 63 miles north. And lo, the star which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, preacher, we know we're going to go down the street. You can go right down the street to church on the corner down here, United Methodist Church, and they've got the manger scene and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men bringing their gifts. It's not biblical. And you go to the church down the road here on the right-hand side, they've got the wise men and the angels and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, and they're all at the manger. Yeah, it's not biblical. Now, I know everybody likes the wise men and they like the gifts and they want to put them at the manger. They're not at the manger. So in our home, Mrs. Bishop has a manger scene, sits in the corner of the living room, and it's got Mary and Joseph and the babe, and she's got wise men. She says, it's not biblical. So I won't let her put the wise men at the manger scene in our living room. She said, where you got to put them? I said, you got to put the wise men on the other side of the room because they're 2 years out. And they're not coming here. It's just important. I'll tell you what, it annoys Mrs. Bishop. I'll just say, be careful who you marry. Don't marry a guy that's a stickler for detail if you want to have the wise men at the manger scene. They're not there. They never went to the manger scene. They never went to Bethlehem. They went to Jerusalem searching for a king, and the king sent them to Bethlehem. But then they followed the star, and the star led them to Nazareth. And you can go through chapter 2 and now let's look at verse 10. They saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Finally, that star is going to show us where to go. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child, not a baby, with his mother, with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And verse 12, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their country another way. Now they're going to take the 90-mile trek, or however they went back. And departed, and behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, get up and get going, because Herod's going to kill all the babies. And so Joseph arose, and he went. Now, imagine this for just a moment. You're a new mom, and you got a 2-year-old, and you've got your house, and you got the curtains set up, and you got the bedrooms all set up, and your husband comes in and says, hey, we're going to move to Egypt. When? Tonight. I got to have time to pack. No. I got to have time to tell the relatives. No. We're going tonight. Joseph went, and he took them. He arose, took the young child and his mother, what does it say? By night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. It's just interesting. I find it interesting to follow the nuances. Don't get your doctrine from Christmas carols. Don't get your doctrine from Hollywood. You should get your doctrine from God's Word. And so you can be the life of the party. The next time you walk into a house and you see the wise men at the manger, you can say that's not biblical. You need to put them on the other side of the room. You'll have all kinds of family members just loving you for this. You say, preacher, they're going to be mad at me. Yeah, probably. But it's just not accurate. It's just not biblical. Mrs. Bishop and I are not from Nazareth. Mrs. Bishop and I are from Michigan. We were raised. Michigan is shaped. The bottom of the lower peninsula is shaped like a mitten. And we are in the thumb. That's where we are from. That's where we were born and raised. So you ask me where I'm from. And I will say, I'm from Michigan. That's where I'm from. People hear me talk and they go, you talk funny. Where are you from? I said, I'm from Michigan, right there. I met a fellow, he was a preacher, he was trying to get support, and I said, where are you from? He said, I'm from Michigan. I said, really, where? Show me. And he goes, I can never remember which hand to do. And I went, you're not from Michigan. And he wasn't. He wasn't. He had just moved there, but he was not from there. It's always bad if you're looking for support to lie to the guy you're trying to get support from, right? So we are from Michigan. Our children are from Virginia. They were all born in the hospital over here off Gallows Row. They were all born there, all three of them. But it was interesting, as they were growing up, people would say, where are you from? And they would say, we're from Michigan. And I go, you are not from Michigan. You are from Virginia. You were raised in Virginia. You were born in Virginia. You lived in Virginia. You've never lived in Michigan. You've gone to Michigan for a week vacation. But you come back. You always come back. And they came back. How long were they in Bethlehem? That's a good question. Turn me back to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We have the answer to that. The Bible has the answer. They did not live there. They weren't there for 2 years. They weren't there for 2 weeks. Where was Jesus born? Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Where were the wise men looking? They were looking in the capital city of Jerusalem. Where was Jesus from? He was from Nazareth. So, your husband has to take you on a trip, on a vacation, to pay taxes in your city of Bethlehem. How long are you going to stay there? Well, when you first arrive, you have a baby. I don't think, ladies, you might help me out with this. If you're in the hospital and you just had a baby and your husband came into the room and said, okay, you had a baby? Okay, cool. Now we're going to take a 70-mile trip back home. You might say, can I have a day to rest? Or two? Or three? Maybe a week? Okay, here we are in Luke chapter 2. And we left off in verse 19. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Where is she at this point? She's with the shepherds. She's at the manger. Christ was just born. How long were they there? And the shepherds returned, verse 20, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Verse 21. And when? How many days? 8 days were accomplished. I don't know if that's why we take week-long vacations now. 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child. His name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel, before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So here they are in Nazareth. They're there for 8 days, and then they go to Jerusalem. And are they living there? No, they're presenting him. And where did they go after that? Where you always go when you're done traveling, you go home. Where's home? Home is up in Nazareth, which is where they went, which is where the wise men found them after they followed the star after 2 years, after they went not to the place of his birth, but to the place where kings lived, the capital city there in Jerusalem. So, where is Jesus? Where is this Jesus that was born? Now we know. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I have way more information than I can possibly give you this morning. I thought I was going to get all the way through this. I'm just so excited. I've been studying several things out and I just have a lot of scriptures to look at. But let's just look at one more thing, because I'm through point one. And I've got 2 points to go and a lot of scriptures, and we are not going to make it by 9:30. We are not. But let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Who, now we know where he was, but who is this Jesus? Have you ever heard people say they reject Jesus Christ? They reject Jesus. They say Jesus was born. The people in the first century, the scribes and Pharisees, the hypocrites, said when they were talking about Jesus Christ, they said, we be not born of fornication. What were they alleging? That Jesus Christ was not God. That not God. John chapter 3, Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. The Bible says the same came to Jesus by night and said, he didn't say Lord, didn't say God. He said, good master, we know thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except, he should have said, except thou be God, except God be with him. But Nicodemus wasn't ready to say that he was God. So there are still people today that do not believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. I will witness to a Muslim, and I know that if I'm witnessing to a Muslim, that we can trace a common ancestry back to Abraham, and I can talk to them about Abraham and Isaac and Ishmael and the battle for the land, and they trace that back, and they'll talk to you. But I know eventually I have to take them to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I have yet, these 30 years that I've been, I'll stop and engage Muslims in conversation about Jesus Christ and who he is. I have yet to have a Muslim man not stop me when I read, quote from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And every time they raise their hand, said, I got a problem with that. And my response is, I know you do. I know you do. But he is God, the only begotten. Who is that? Did Jesus just appear in Luke chapter 2? It's a good question. Is that the first time in Scripture we see Jesus? Look at 1 Peter. We're in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Wherefore, let's go look at verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also, it is contained in Scripture. You want to write out in your margin, that Scripture is Isaiah chapter 8. Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him, Jesus Christ, shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone, Jesus Christ, which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who is this talking about? Everybody would agree, this is talking about Jesus Christ. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 8. Way back in the Old Testament. I put a marker there, which annoys Brother Williams when I do that, because I got there like really quickly, and you're still trying to figure out where Isaiah is from the index in the front of your Bible. So what you need to do is get a Bible, same Bible the preacher has, and then ask me to give page numbers, right? We're in Isaiah chapter 8. And we're going to go to verse, let's start at the paragraph. Let's start at verse 11. Before we read from verse 11, well, no, let's go. Let's just do it. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy to all them which to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary. Now this is a prophecy that Peter is talking about, for it's written in the Scripture. It is right here. For he shall be, who is this? The Lord of hosts. He shall be for a sanctuary, for a stone of stumbling, sound like Peter's? Sound like what we just read? Absolutely. A rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for again and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and taken and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob. I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Isn't that neat, that prophecy? Here's something else neat. In the Old Testament, the translators have done us a great favor. Every time that Jehovah is used in the Hebrew, they have taken the word Lord and they make it capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. You see in that in your scripture? Look at verse 11. For the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And whenever you see that in the Old Testament, you know that is coming from the Hebrew word Jehovah. Look at verse 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts. Lord of hosts is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Who is that referring to? That's referring to Jehovah. Look at verse 14. Who is the stone of stumbling? The Lord is. Who is Jesus Christ? Did he just appear in Bethlehem? No. Jesus Christ is Jehovah. You read the Old Testament, you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. You're looking at Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Oh, we have 3 minutes left. We can't possibly go through all of this. He is the Creator. John chapter 1 says, He created all things. Who did? Jesus did. Where does the creation take place? Takes place back in Genesis. Who is the Creator? Jesus Christ. For He created all things, and by Him all things consist. Jesus Christ did not just arrive in Bethlehem. He is a pre-existent one. And He comes to bring you a gift, the gift of God, which is eternal life. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Astounding. Are you a shepherd that has seen the greatness of God's salvation? Can you share that with someone else and say, I have received the gift of God, which is Jesus Christ? Will you share that? In the next 48 hours between now and Christmas, will you strive? On your way out the door on the left-hand side, there are a whole row of gospel tracts. Just pull one out, just one. I'm not asking you to do 10. I'm just asking you to do one. Would you be a shepherd in the next 48 hours to take one gospel tract and hand it to one person and say, I have received the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And hand that so that they can receive the gift as well. Say, preacher, God help me. In the next 48 hours, I'm going to take one, and I'm going to strive to be a shepherd and take that good news to one other person. Do you pray for me? God help me to do that. And I will. Okay. All right. You're good. All right. Father, I thank you for folks that have seen you. They have received your gift. And I pray that they would, like the shepherds, be confident to share that with others. In the next 48 hours, take a little piece of paper and be able to say, I've received the gift. You can receive the gift too. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here this morning, you've never received a gift. You do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. But this morning, God is speaking to your heart and you'd like to receive the gift. Say, preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not saved. I don't know Christ. I'd like to be. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand up and hold it for just a moment. I'll remember you in prayer. Is there one? Okay. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. The piano is playing. The altar is open. If there's someone you're burdened about who has not received the gift, you want to pray for them, you certainly can. You like to pray for yourself. you'd like the preacher to pray for you, I'd be delighted to do that in the next moment as the piano plays the altar.